Hi, Miss Sheila.
Hi, Judy. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm going to mute you and do my thing.
Okay, sounds good.
I just wanted to get connected.
Okay.
All of the council members are present, so welcome to the November 5th, 2020 meeting. Michela, I think maybe you've started your, you always want me to remind you to start your recorder, or is that
yes.
Okay?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. And again, we're doing Zoom tonight. We just got Zoom phone here. Oh, we're doing our meeting tonight by Zoom again, just because Garfield County is still in the high transmission rate zone, and we want to take all precautions not to, spread. So public meetings, until further notice, we'll be doing this way. So let's go ahead and start with the Pledge of Allegiance, if you'll please stand. I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic
for which it stands,
one
nation, under
God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Before we move into the agenda tonight, I just wanted to acknowledge that since our last meeting, we've lost two of the pillars of our community, Bob Rams and Del LaFever. It's a great loss for the town. And both of those men served their country. And then when they got back, they served their communities. And I can't think of two men that have served their community more than Bob and Del. We really do owe them a debt of gratitude for making Boulder a better place over the years. I know they both helped a lot with town things that we had come up. So condolences to Naomi and her family, and to you, Gladys, and your family. And you're in our thoughts and prayers always, but it's a great loss for Boulder. So I wanted to acknowledge that before we started tonight. Okay, first thing on the agenda is to approve the minutes of October. And I think everybody has got a copy. I had just a couple questions, and then if anybody else does. So Michela, on page 2, at the end of the first long paragraph, there's a sentence that says she will continue to look at those. And I'm guessing we were talking about trails. Is that correct, Elizabeth? I think trails from the subdivision in Upper Boulder to Boulder Elementary School, or you know what that was?
Yeah. I believe that's what it was, Steve.
Okay, I think so too. And then, so let's change those to just trails, so it was clear that we're still, that's still a, you know, a goal for us eventually, maybe sometime. And then this next sentence says, Judy added that town received a letter stating funding had been received. And I think that should say that a notice for funding had been received.
Yes, yes, thank you. Good catch.
Yeah, no problem. Yes. And everything else was fine. Does anybody else have anything to add or change or comment? And I'll entertain a motion to adopt the October or approve the October minutes.
I make a motion to approve the October minutes with those changes.
I'll second it, Gladys.
Okay, it's been seconded by Gladys. All in favor, aye.
Aye, Judy, aye.
Aye, Elizabeth Julian.
Aye, Conrad.
Okay, good. Motion carries 5-0 on that. Next thing is the CARES funding, and we've been discussing this for a while. We had a very informative talk the other day with Wayne Bradshaw from Utah League of Cities and Towns. Michela was in on the Zoom. I think Judy was, I was. They really clarified a few things for us about that money.
Do you want me to go in the other room?
I think I've got somebody on that's not muted. Anyway, what they did is after the first round of money, a lot of the towns in Utah didn't accept the money or didn't apply for the money. So what they did is they took some of that excess money and looked at giving it to resort communities, the ones that had been hit hardest by COVID, mainly due to the tourist industry. And so they reappropriated money in what they called their second and third tranches. There was actually three payments to go out. We didn't apply for the second one or the third one until just recently. And once Wayne Bradshaw kind of gave us the details of that, the clerks did what we needed to do to get eligible for that funding. And now we have about $40,000, a little over $40,000 in CARES money to be spent. And we have to spend it by December 30th, but we have to have it allocated by November 30th. So we have to send in a report November 30th telling the state how we intend to use that money. And a few of the things that have come up, we will pay for the Zoom account out of that. Any internet costs that we've incurred, we'll try to do that. I've asked the clerks to kind of look at their equipment and maybe upgrade our computers while we have a chance, because we're doing so many things online now that we really need the computer equipment to work. So I think Michela and Judy are looking, and maybe Peg, are looking at what we need town-wise, you know, as far as upgrades in computers. So those are a few of the things. A couple things that have come up, and Elizabeth can help with the first one, is, and Gladys knows a little bit about this too, is we were, Elizabeth, for the school, looked into an air purification system, or I would say an air sanitizing system might be a better way to characterize that. And they went ahead and got one for the school. And we had the same representative, Bob Chevalier. He came to the town hall, he met with Corey. Corey showed him around. He gave us an estimated cost for the units that would sanitize the air. They'll need three units in our building, and it'll cover the entire building. They hook them right into the HVAC system. And they were three units at $1,400 a unit. So it, you know, just $4,200 would be the estimated cost. They were trying to see if the electrical would be in addition to that, but Corey and I climbed up in the attic, and there's plenty of plug-ins to accommodate that. So we're looking at, if we want to go ahead with that purchase, it'd be $4,200, and that's for installation. In 2 years, what he called the cells would have to be replaced. And Let me see the cost of that. $450 a unit every 2 years. So we'd be looking at, you know, over another $1,000 every 2 years to keep that system up and running. So I want to put it out for any comments, questions. You know, this is something we can do if we choose with that money, but we certainly don't have to if you feel a little bit hesitant about that. So anybody that wants to provide some input, go ahead and chime in.
So is that just for COVID then, or for what you're trying to do?
It's for COVID, it's for bacteria, mold, it's any living organism. It works by putting out little droplets of hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah.
Is a disinfectant, and then hydrogen peroxide breaks down into water and oxygen once it's reacted. So it's a kind of system, and from my reading, it would be more effective on surfaces, not so much of cleaning the air, but it could do a little of both, but it's mainly a surface cleaning type of system.
So then it puts a mist throughout the building and cleans the surfaces throughout the building.
Right.
So if COVID goes away in the next couple of years, we could unplug them and then plug them back in as we need them.
Yeah, I think so. They are plug-in, and I didn't ask Bob that because, you know, I thought we're probably always going to have bacteria and some kind of viruses.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that is a possibility.
Input from Gladys. That's kind of expensive. If we use the building full time, it'd be different. But I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that much money for the amount of time we use the building.
I hear you on that.
That's just, I could be swayed either way.
Okay.
So that works out to $600 a year for basically for the maintenance of those. Is it filters? Is that what you said, Steve?
He called them cells. And I think what the technology, as far as I know, and Elizabeth might be more familiar, is they use ultraviolet light to create hydrogen peroxide. Somehow, I don't know exactly how they work, but apparently those need to be changed. They're not really filters. He called them cells, and they go inside the machine that creates the hydrogen peroxide. So I don't know, Elizabeth, you know more about it than that.
That's pretty much what I know about it. I have some literature on it I can share with everybody that he gave to me when I was making the decision.
Can that thing be like turned off when we're not using the building? Is it something that we could do like that? Because if when we're using the building and we get back to where we really, people are in there a lot, especially during the winter months, where there's colds and flu, and people don't mean to bring them all the time, but they do happen. If it's something that could be like activated when you're there and disactivated when, you know, for the most part, it might be worth it. But can that happen?
As far as my understanding is, it's not something that independently turns on and off, that it runs off of the fan. And so whether you have cooling or heating, it doesn't matter, or nothing. You just need to have the fans going.
Okay, Steve, I do have one more thought. This is Gladys. You know, but we can use the COVID money for the initial cost, the $4,200, right?
Right.
Okay, well, so that's, to me, that's something to think about. You know what I mean? So basically, we're just going to be spending replacing those cells every 2 years.
Yeah, that would be our maintenance cost. The other, yeah, should be free. And I, you know, I can ask Bob if, you know, since they're plug-in, I don't know if we'd have the option of plugging them in when we're ready to use the building extensively and then unplugging. I'm not sure the technology allows that, but it may. And, you know, if that's the make or break thing, I could certainly ask him if we're able to turn those on and off, because I don't know the answer to that question right now.
Well, rather than having a you know, go up and unplug them, you could almost have a designated switch for the systems. Just like switching on your lights.
Yeah, we'd have to run a little extra electrical. Right now, the receptacles are in the
attic.
In the attic, at least two of them. There'd be one in the mechanical room and two up in the attic. So we'd have to figure out a way to do that. And the cost to do that would be on us.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a possibility. It's not really too hard to get up into the attic to plug and unplug them if we're just doing it occasionally or for a period of months or something like that. So I think Elizabeth was right. They run the whole time the fan is on, and they kind of sanitize the area, you know, after people leave, come in for a while, leave again. And so I think what I was reading is they recommend leaving them on all the time so that they're more effective. But,
yeah,
you know, in months when we're not using them at all, like right now, we may be able to not have them running. But, you know, still, if they're already in there and they're probably going to tell us to replace the cells every 2 years anyway, we might as well, you know, have it running. So, you know, I can ask him though if that's a concern to the rest of you.
Well, this Judy, it's just something to look into. I mean, it could be a cost saver, but if it has to run all the time for it to be efficient, then, you know, then I guess you'd have to do that. But those are my thoughts.
Okay, this is Gladys. Steve, do we need to have a decision though by November the 3rd?
Yes. Yeah, we have to have that money allocated that we are purchasing that system by November 30th. Yes.
Well, I'll withdraw my objection. It's too expensive. Basically, it's the COVID money that's paying for it. Our cost is just going to be replacing those cells every 2 years.
Right.
Which I didn't think that was that expensive.
Okay. Michela, did you have a comment?
Yeah, Peg just brought up a good point. She put it in chat to everybody. That kind of helps us get back to somewhat normal. That way, if we're going to try and open up hybrid meetings and allow people back into the building, that might be just a thought.
Yeah, that would certainly make, I think, people feel a little bit safer about coming back. So that's a good point.
Can I just add on to that a little bit? I just want everyone to be thinking about, I don't expect that we're going to jump back into normal usage of the building and have the groups meeting like we used to meet, but there was a fairly heavy use of the building. Judy, you can correct me if I'm overstating that, but between, you know, the library and the Arts Council events and classes and miscellaneous people just reserving the meeting room to have other types of meetings, that it's not just the Planning Commission and Town Council that use the building, so.
Okay. Thank you. You're a little bit, sound like you're in a well talking, but we can kind of.
This is my new, this is the thing Michelle gave me to try out, the camera, which you could see turning red, and the microphone's not great, but can you hear me at all?
Yeah, it's not, you're correct, it's not that great for sound.
Okay. Well, it was free.
And then yeah, there is that. Any other comments? We can make a motion to go ahead and approve this with CARES money. I think that's probably the way to do if someone's ready to make that motion.
Question, Steve.
Yes.
So it's already in the school, correct?
Elizabeth, you can answer that. I don't know.
We don't have it in our system right now. It's ordered in waiting for it.
My question is there any form of testing once they put it in to see just how effective it is?
Yeah, so when they came in with the temporary unit, they gave us a full report.
And so when they put
and
it
then
through
the they system, installed it, and when they were...
She's cutting in and out.
Yeah. Well, I'm probably clear right now. They did come into the building. They must have some machine because he gave me a little printout of how many bacteria, how much particulate matter, how much mold. So they've got some kind of a monitor that they can come in and monitor that for us to see if it's making a difference. And I don't know how often they might do that for us, but yes, there is a way to tell if it's effective or not.
Great. Okay.
Yeah. Good question.
Okay, this is Gladys. I'll make a motion that we use the COVID money to purchase this equipment for the town hall.
Motion.
I second.
Okay, it's been seconded by Judy Drain. All in favor? Aye.
Judy, Gladys. Aye.
Aye, Conrad.
Okay.
Elizabeth, aye.
Okay, so motion passes 5-0. I will contact Bob. I'll ask him some of those other questions, but we'll plan ahead and have him install it when they can. And we'll put that on our list of expenses for the CARES money. Okay. Now, the other thing that came up during that meeting was a lot of the towns and cities have been using those funds to give out small business grants. Panguitch is the nearest one I know, but there's also North Logan and Uinta County. There were some that they kind of mentioned. They had created a program that businesses could apply for COVID relief, basically. And we can give out grants. And so I sent out I just kind of threw together an application by blending Panguitch's, which was really simple, North Logan's, which was a little bit more complex, and Uinta's, which was quite extensive. And I tried to tailor it more for our businesses, but it was just a thought in my mind that if we have 30,000 or so left over, 35, that it might be really nice to help our businesses out that have suffered a little bit from COVID. And they can use it for a lot of different things as long as it's COVID related. I don't know if everybody got that and had time to read the application and a little bit of the justification for it. But again, I'm interested to know what the council's feelings are about that kind of program and whether or not you've had a chance to look at that application form. So again, I'll just open it up to the council to give me your thoughts on that.
All right, Steve, this Judy, I got a chance to look over it. I think it's a pretty good idea because the businesses, I mean, like Hilton Hollows was down 2 months totally closed. They did the baskets and about a month and a half totally. So that would really help out. I mean, even if it helped out on the rent at that particular time, you know, something like that. I think it's a good idea myself.
Okay, thank you.
This is Gladys. I'm sorry, I haven't seen the thing yet, but as long as the money is available and we're eligible to ask for it, I think we might just as well use it for our communities.
Yeah. In my feeling, it's kind of use it or lose it, because any money we don't appropriate by November 1st and actually spend by December 30th, it goes back to the state. And okay. I think the state really kind of bent over backwards a little to help resort communities like Boulder. That's what they consider us, because a lot of our revenues do come from tourism. I think they really tried to help us, and I'd hate to just kind of turn money back that could really help some of our businesses a little bit. So thanks, Gladys. And if you get that, you could look at the application and give me any feedback okay. tomorrow. I'd like to get it out as quick as possible. Because we got to turn that around by November 30th. If we're giving out grants, we have to kind of tell the state how we're going to use it. So, yeah, thanks. Conrad?
This is Elizabeth. I also agree. I think it is a good use of it to give back to the community and the businesses that were affected.
Okay. Conrad? Okay.
Mike, I agree. I just want to make sure that everybody gets a fair distribution. You know, is it? Do you want to divide it up fairly between, or does one need more than the other?
Well, on the application, right now I put you could apply between 1,000 and 5,000, but you do have to be able to prove, I guess, paperwork wise, if the state ever comes back and asks, you have to show that you did have a significant reduction.
Right.
From 2019 to 2020. And so, you know, I think what we would do is once we get applications, I'm not sure who's going to decide yet, because it's pretty fresh, who would decide how we appropriate that money. But, you know, I'm sure the town council would obviously be involved, but we'd need to do it before our next meeting. So we'd probably have to form a committee to look at those. And then I think what we would do is just try to distribute it as fairly as we can based on the need.
Good. It's all right with me.
Okay. So again, I'll entertain a motion to go ahead, what I call a small business grant program.
All right. This is Judy. I make a motion to approve the small business grant application, the money application money.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a second by Conrad. All in favor? Aye.
Gladys, yes.
Judy, yes.
Conrad, Elizabeth. Yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Okay, so that passes 5-0. So any of you that haven't looked at the application, I would ask if you could get any changes, any additions, whatever, by tomorrow, because I would like to have Michelle or Judy send it out as quickly as possible to our businesses that have a valid business license, and we'll try to get those back in process. So I think it might help our businesses a little bit. So thank you.
So we're gonna have another meeting sometime this month to discuss that again?
Yeah, and we could. I mean, we can call a special meeting. That's certainly a possibility.
Like give them 2 weeks and say, get them in now so we can hurry up and get you applied?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, next on the agenda was we talked about this last month. In fact, we just made a couple little corrections in the minutes about the Safe Route to School program. I know it's come up every year for a while, and we've talked about it and never really got much going. So this year, we made the suggestion that Elizabeth find some parents to go ahead and pursue looking at applying for the grant money. And so she did, and Judy Drain and Judy Davis and I met with Anna Sanders and Jill Trombley and kind of went over some of the things that we thought would help. You know, the trail thing is probably way too expensive, but we thought about things that might help right around the school to make it safer. And then Anna and Jill took it on. They contacted Jones and DeMille, who volunteered to help write the grant, no cost, other than they will help us engineer it if we get the grant, so they'll make some money that way. But they kind of stated that since Boulder does so much business with them, they felt a little obligated to help us out once in a while on the smaller project. So I thought that was very generous of them. But I'm going to turn the time over to Elizabeth and Judy Drain if she has some comments. But Elizabeth's going to show us a little bit about the grant and what the engineers suggested we do. And as you know, we had to send the grant off really quickly. So I didn't have any time to get approval from everybody. But it's certainly money that, you know, we don't have to take the grant if they do award it, but I think it's pretty valuable. So Elizabeth, are you ready to show us what you've got on that?
Yes, and Judy might be able to help as well. I was not in any of the planning meetings for this. This is what was shared, and it was actually also shared last night. Like Steve said, it was Anna Sanders, Jill Trombley, Steve, and Judy Drain that worked on this together. I believe I'm sharing my screen. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's nice that that's working, even though the voiceover and I'm not calling in on the telephone. So here is the application, and I'm not sure. I actually didn't look up on the website. I don't know if it has been added, but if not, I believe Judy and Michaela can add it. But here is the Safe Routes to School grant that they applied for. The applicant was the town, and then the school was acting as a sub applicant. And I can go down to the map. So here was the support from Steve as the mayor, and here is Superintendent Dodds of the school district. And you will see, I'm going to get to the map because I think that makes the most sense. So you'll see here, this is what they came up with. And it was to put... What?
Scroll down, Elizabeth.
Oh, right there?
No, you're not moving.
Oh. My internet is now, it's just a spiraling connecting. So I think I lost you on the internet end. Sorry.
Okay. That's.
I'm no longer, my computer is no longer connected to the meeting. It is putting in some crosswalks and temporary speed bumps around the school between the parking lot of the going both entrances of the church parking lot, and they're temporary so they can be only out during the school year and then removed. And that was what was suggested. And then a couple signs that just say pedestrian crossing signs so people are aware to slow down.
Okay, so...
And Judy, do you want to talk more about it? Because you were actually part of this.
Yeah, and what they came up with, I think, is excellent. The only thing is, I think we need to add an extra speed bump right there past Sam's on that corner until we decide what we're going to do also, because that corner is still an issue for the school, people coming around that corner too fast in the church. So, I mean, I don't know what they run. I think they discussed that, but it was the sign they discussed.
No, the speed bumps were about $1,000 each, I believe.
I mean, even if, you know, if we had to kick that money, just $1,000 for one of those speed bumps, Steve, that might help that corner tell that corner the issue gets taken care of, which would be better than stop signs because they definitely would have to slow down. They couldn't do a California stop and run around the corner.
Right. Okay, there's the map. You've got it up now.
There it is.
Yeah, I just reconnected. This is the second one, and so you can see down by Sam's here, and they have some, these little art markings. You can see the key is right here. But these are signs to, and then this, the green, and you can see it zoomed in here. The green here is for speed bumps, and then this is a crosswalk. And then they also suggested putting pedestrian crossing signs here and here. But we have the most amount of kids coming down this down from Highway 12 and coming across in the morning. And oddly, we have the most going down Lower Boulder in the afternoons. And partly because most of them, we have two that are that walk every day that go the same route right here south of the school. But we have kids that live up at the north end that ride their bikes down every morning and come in. And then we have a bunch of other kids that ride their bikes home every afternoon. But they all ride bikes only downhill.
Question. Were you trying to put in a crosswalk here turning in front of the park and also turning there? In front of halls?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. And that's what I wasn't part of this planning committee. I just was given the final project. I know Judy was on it, Steve was on it, Jill Trombley, and Anna Sanders. But these were the ones that Jones and DeMille came up with their recommendation. You can see there is one right here in front of the park where, like, between the post office and the park. Is that what you were saying, Conrad?
Well, that's between it. I'm thinking of right across the highway that people come down.
Oh, right out here. Yeah.
Yes. And then further up, right in front of halls that they need to, that they come down the road on the other side. They need
to right here.
Yeah, they need to cross over there to
where
come down,
they come down on, yeah.
Yeah.
They need those two crosswalks.
Well, I think that my understanding, and Steve or Judy, you can correct me, was this was just a preliminary plan to apply for the grant, but that they can make changes based on if we got the grant money.
Yeah, it seems to me that was it, wasn't it, Steve?
Yeah.
That was at least my understanding of the report I read.
Yeah, there were some other things discussed. You know, we did discuss those crosswalks across Highway 12, but the parents didn't feel that was necessary because they said most of the time they are with the kids and they like to cross with them. And so it was more the parents deciding that they didn't think those were as necessary as the ones that are on the diagram. So that's what I remember in the conversation.
And those signs out on Highway 12 are the flashing signs. They're not just a sign that says school close or something. It is, those are the actual flashing school signs. And so they would have to be turned off and on unless a timer's put on them. But I think we discussed that it wasn't that big of a deal for them to be turned off and on. But so those are the actual flashing school signs.
Well, if you don't have a crosswalk with a flashing light, you don't know where to look for the kids. Just like
the point was that the kids usually, well, they said they're never alone crossing the highway. The parents are with them. And they didn't feel that it was necessary to put flashing lights and crosswalks on Highway 12. That was just their opinion. And as parents, we kind of went along with what they were wanting and thought they needed. So we can certainly add to this because we didn't have to match any money. In fact, if the budget's there, so we could add money in as we see necessary above and beyond the grant. But this is kind of what the engineers working with the parents. Judy and I weren't necessarily in on all the discussions. It was more the parents working with Jones and DeMille to say what they wanted out of this plan.
So was this grant, if I read it right today, for $36,000?
I don't remember. Elizabeth, do you have the...
Yeah, there it is. It's right there, Steve.
Yeah, so 36.
Yeah.
See, and it has the flashing school zone signs. And it's mainly to make sure that people slow down in that area with the kids going and coming or coming and going.
And if you look at the key, the flashing signs are here, right by the speed bump, and then here again. So they're right by the parking, the entrances to the church parking lot. Those are the flashing school zone signs, and the other ones are just say pedestrian crossing.
Yep, you're right. I apologize. That's right.
So no flashing lights out on Highway 12?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. That's right, because they said they didn't think that would be necessary, like Steve said, because they mainly bring the kids. That's right, because we talked about that to begin with, and then... they decided that most of the time they're with their kids going to, or coming, especially coming home. And they ride their bikes with them going down. Didn't they say that, Steve, in the summer?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
But I was just looking at future events. So if we could use this for any planning of any future expansion of kids, to use it to say, okay, even though they do this, that we go out and do something, like I said, just put in a crosswalk. It can't hurt, but it was just something to me. I'm just saying, for future years, we might, in 10 years, we might want to put a crosswalk. If we use the money now, we've already got them in.
Yeah, and I agree with you and Conrad, and that was actually one of the things. I know initially when the parents started to do this, it was for a bike path or a walking path, and then they realized that the amount that the grant was for, and this was based on the parents' needs and Jones and DeMille's recommendations.
Yeah, so this grant has been sent in, but it's certainly within our ability as the town to appropriate money if we see, or if parents think we need to add something after they see how this goes. You know, I think that we certainly could do that, or maybe we could apply for more grant money. But I think the parents just wanted some things to see how they worked right around the school, and then if we need to expand that, you know, I think we certainly can as a town.
You know, when she was talking about the corner around there by Sam Stout, that Corey went and cut those down this year, that really helped me, that I could always see around that corner and just being prepared to slow down, you know, either way because of that being blind. So yeah, anything that helps.
Okay, any other comments? Because this plan has been sent in. We'll hear back. This money, it's interesting, is for 2023. So, you know, I don't know exactly when they will let us know. Do you know, Elizabeth, about awarding the grant? I don't know.
No, because Anna Sanders is the one that submitted it, and she did all the communication both with the application process and Jones and DeMille. Yeah, it is the, let's see. Here we are. It looks like we'll be notified by November 23rd.
Okay, and then the money would come to us for 2023.
Yes.
All right. Any other questions? I just wanted to make you aware of what had happened following up from last meeting's discussion and the fact that we needed to get the grant in as soon as possible and you know, we didn't have a lot of input from the town council, but, you know, we certainly have time if we do get the grant to do what we need to do.
Steve, I have a question. Since that money's not going to come in till 2023, is there a possible way that we could purchase as a town a couple of those speed bumps to just at least slow down traffic on both sides of the school some way?
Yeah, I believe we could. And, you know, they may, you know, this grant, if we get it, there may be some reimbursement kind of things that could happen. So we could do some work up front. I hadn't considered that, but I think that's something worth discussing, is if we want to act more immediate and then use the grant money when we get it to reimburse. I don't know how that works, but it seems like a good idea.
All right.
So by next meeting, we may know if we get the grant, and then we could put this on the agenda to discuss a little bit more, or you know, get some more parent input, whatever. So that's a good idea, Judy. Okay, thank you, Elizabeth, for presenting that. We'll move on. The next one has to do with the landfill. So Conrad, feel free to kind of join in. I talked to Dwight's Recycle, who usually comes over and gets our old cars and scrap metal. I think there's an old motor home out there, but the last time I talked to them, scrap metal prices are way down. They don't plan to come to Boulder and pick up our scrap metal this year. They're hoping maybe prices will go up in the spring, and they'll be able to come remove all of that. In the meantime, Dean Wilson has said he doesn't think there's any more room for any more cars. You know, I think probably there's still room for some scrap metal, smaller stuff, but he kind of asked if I would bring it up in the town council to see if we would stop allowing people to bring their cars. Dwight's Recycle apparently told Dean, I think, that they don't take motorhomes at all because it's mostly aluminum, and it's really not worth them trying to smash down and haul away a motorhome. And so I know there's one out there, but I'm not sure we need to allow any more, but that's not my call. I think we need to make that decision as a group. You know, where we go from here, if we want specific rules regarding cars, motorhomes, mobile homes, whatever it might be. So, Conrad, you may have some feelings on this since that's your department.
I was up there Saturday, and yeah, I couldn't believe all the cars and everything trying to be crowded up there. I think it's people's responsibility to get rid of their vehicles themselves. I know we've had to have people come in and haul our tractors away, and our big DC-8s and cats get hauled out. But I was surprised at all the furniture that's up there too. I didn't know people were remodeling that much.
Yeah, the county's supposed to haul that away. In fact, you may want to contact either Jerry Taylor or Brian Bremner, because I've done it several times, and I don't seem to be having much luck getting them over here to haul that away.
You and me both.
Okay.
And
just a quick interjection. Have we ever looked at some of the, like the homeless veterans car donation and some of the other ones?
Good point. You get money for your donation on your cars.
Well, and at least that gets them to a junkyard. And
yes,
I don't know. Maybe I'm volunteering myself to look into that, but
thank you.
Well, we are. It's not so much you look. What we ought to do is write up a sign that puts there right there, and you drive in, that says, "Donate your vehicles," and here's the numbers to donate them to, because there's several organizations that will come and get your vehicle
and haul them away for you. Yeah, I'm looking at a couple right now. I mean, we are kind of out of the way, so. But if we could set up like a time and, you know, let them know, if just like everything else we do in town where we share the cost, or we say, hey, we want to schedule a day for this, how many takers do we have? We
might be able to. Yeah, get more than one so that people, so they have more than one car to come pick up.
Yeah. Okay. Just a thought. I'll keep looking at it.
And I think that's a good idea if you want to follow up on that and see if anybody, there always has been the problem is coming to Boulder and hauling transportation from here. You know, I don't know who's willing to do that. That's always been the problem. And White's has always been good because they could make some money and give the town a little money. But scrap metal's just, I guess, bottomed out and they're struggling, I think, you get it selling any scrap metal right now. So I think what we have to decide tonight is if we want to put an end right now to bringing any cars or that type of thing until we figure this out. So I think that's what Dean wanted us to decide is, you know, can he refuse to take any more of those until we come up with a solution?
Input from Gladys. Okay, input from Gladys. To me, if there's no way for us to dispose of this stuff, we shouldn't be taking it at the dump. So I'm all for, hey, no, can't take that.
Okay, thanks, Gladys.
Yeah.
Judy or Elizabeth?
Yeah, I agree, 100%.
Sounds good for me.
And then you notice they haul the cars and trucks in, and they got the trucks and cars full of trash when they haul them in.
Yeah. Okay, Conrad, will you go ahead and contact Dean and just tell him that we've made that decision, yeah. And then maybe I can write up, or Peg can write up something to go out on. I guess I can write it up and put it out on Pegboard that we're no longer accepting those until, you know, if and when Dwight's begins hauling off, or if Michela finds a way, maybe we'll, you know, have a solution. But for now, they can hold on to their own vehicles. So if you'll tell Dean, then I'll go ahead and get a Pegboard out.
It's got to be like cars, motorhomes, trailers, all big items cannot be put in the dump for now.
Yeah. Okay. All right, that sounds good. I think that's what we did, that's what we needed to hear. Let's move on to department reports. Elizabeth, it looks like you're up first with all of your assignments. So tell us what you've got going.
Sure. I had no updates from the fire department or the EMTs at this point. At this time, I still don't believe that either Taylor or Andy have taken their national exam that they agreed to take in order to be reimbursed. Judy, did that letter go out to them from us from last month?
It hasn't, but it's been on my list, and it's right near the top.
Okay. There was no updates from the fire council, although they wanted to look into helping. The one thing it was just between now and next season of working on perhaps reworking or redoing the wording of the fire ordinance to make it a little bit more clear for people, and possibly having it extend in the future, because ours expired on October 1st, but yet it was still high fire danger. And that was something I actually brought to their attention. The library, they're with the current county's restrictions, the library is again closed temporarily. I believe there was a question about, which I only just got an email and I can't say I could follow up on it, but Cookie made a request in an email, but after this meeting has started, about some Wi-Fi payment. So I'll follow up with her and send everybody, or just Judy, you an email. The Arts Council is a current exhibit that is up right now. That is the Utah Arts and Museums traveling exhibit, the Utah Women Making History. It's open on Mondays from 11 to 1 until December 14th, but they are asking just for one family unit at a time to go in, and that our masks are required in the community center. The last one's Garfield County School District. The school district has created a dashboard that is available on the district's homepage of their website that is available from all the schools. And the dashboard shows how many cases are currently active, recovered, and quarantined at each of the schools in the district. And that is all I have for department reports.
Hey, I heard that the art show is really good. So, yeah, make arrangements to see it if you can, and to take family or whatever. It's supposed to be very good. So, thank you, Elizabeth.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that at the community center?
Yes.
Yes, it is at the community center.
So it'll be open. We can just walk in and see it?
Yeah, on Mondays from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock through December 14th.
Okay. Steve, I forgot to tell you, Corey's been asking if we would purchase him a trailer to haul that buggy around in.
Well, I would say right now he needs to figure out how much it would cost and submit a bid or something to us.
We were talking and he figured about probably the highest he'd go is $1,500, but he's looking around for a used one for about probably $1,000.
And okay, that was, I'd say let him look, but I don't want to make that commitment tonight to do that
correct.
Yet.
I just want to let you know he's asking.
Okay.
He figured he could use it for a lot more things than just, you know, he wanted to use it for several things besides the buggy. So, all right, I'll ask.
Okay. Yeah. He can come present what his idea is maybe next month if he can figure out what it is he's asking for. So yeah, okay. Go ahead and tell him. Yeah, we're willing to listen. Okay. Thank you. Next, Gladys, cemetery buildings. Anything? I know you've got some stuff going.
Okay. Got the rebar up on all the veterans' graves. Steve, I need to know, okay, I'll take care of getting the flags. When do you want the flags put up? The morning of Veterans Day and down, or how do you want that done?
Yeah, I think so. And I can help too. I mean, I think they should go up, you know, fairly early in the morning and then down by sundown kind of thing.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I think I can handle that. I got some help to do that.
Okay, great.
I don't think I have anything on the town hall unless somebody else does. And Travel Council, actually, we're having a Zoom meeting in 2 weeks. We really haven't had any meetings. Our budget is way down, but we're going to look at that to see what we're going to submit to the county commissioners. But that's because, you know, the revenue is down.
Right, exactly.
But it did turn out, I think, that October, actually September, October, and we're really quite busy months for the tourism industry in Garfield County. So we feel good about that.
Yeah, it did seem to pick up, be very busy, didn't it? Yeah.
Okay, I think that's all.
Yeah, Gladys, I appreciate you doing the flag thing. I think that's going to be very wonderful to see flags. And for those of you that haven't been in, Gladys took it on to go ahead and get rebar put in the ground, and all we have to do is put out flags that's still a lot, but we can put out flags on the rebar and then take them down in the evening, and I think we can do that for the various events or holidays, but I think it's going to be great, and I appreciate your work on that, Gladys.
Okay, and if somebody happens to see a grave that is a veteran that I'm not aware of, be sure you let me know.
Yeah, good point.
And Gladys, do you need help next Wednesday morning to have it up for Veterans Day?
I got it covered.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, great.
Question.
Yeah.
Gladys?
Yes.
On your rebar. So yes. Did you beat it into the ground and leave it above the ground?
Yes. It's about, is it 8? It's just about 2 feet out of the ground.
Is there a covering on the top of that rebar?
No, there is not. Do I need to figure out something?
Oh, man.
It is in this, we put them in the center of the headstone.
Yeah, but OSHA and state law requires you to have these square knobs on the top of them so that people can't fall on them and impale themselves.
Okay.
I know the ones in Escalante don't have anything on them. They're rebar pounded in, they're painted green. They're right next to the headstones. If someone falls on them, they're going to have to really try, but certainly that's something that, you know, I'm just, the idea originally came from looking at what they'd done in Escalante Cemetery.
Yeah.
They don't have any covers on theirs either. So I don't
just,
know.
I just know from my construction experience, I had to buy thousands of those coverings for the rebar and things that you had exposed above ground just from accidents. You know, they're just covering them. But for what short time they're in there, I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay, well, Conrad, you and I, let's go look at them. Maybe you can show me what the coverings look like. Could we even weld a bolt on top of them? So
we can find something real easy to put to protect those real easy. I'll come up and catch up to you tomorrow or Saturday.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Great. Judy Drain, what have you got for us on planning roads?
Nothing on the roads right now. I went up to the cemetery after all the horses were up there for Dale. Bill and I went to uncover the one that was there, the pole holder, the one that you drive into the ground that they bend it over really bad. So I'm sure that's probably why we couldn't find it. So I talked to Randy today. I went up after some apples at Randy, and he said, I think you might want to really call Blue Stakes because I really would like to move it over. So that's not going to happen again. So I had to work this morning, so I'm going to do it first thing tomorrow morning. And then we'll just move it like about 3 feet further north so that once the sign's up, people can't knock it back down again. I was a little concerned because where they're doing all that work on the water up there. And so I thought, well, maybe we better wait until that's all done. But by the time Blue Stakes get here, if we get it in a week or so, I think according to what Randy said, most of the stuff will be done up there. So. And then the Jepson one we looked at, we're just going to put it in right next to where it is. Now, Bill thinks he can get the backhoe fixed. If he can't, then Sam just said he'd come up and do it for us, and then he'll just send a bill in.
Okay, good.
And as far as the Planning Commission, most of the Planning Commission last month was spent with Lee talking about what they had done with the table of uses, and he'd spend a long time on them. So he's pretty well wants to have the Planning Commission shoot them off to us. But Colleen wanted one more meeting so they could take a look at what he had done in case there was any last minute touch up. They reviewed the commercial standard review sheet, using an RV park as an example, and that was quite interesting. So that pretty well took most of the meeting up, and there wasn't really anything else.
Okay.
of great importance that I've got here. So okay. That's about it.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Conrad?
Yo. What? What's your question?
Do you have anything for enforcement, landfill, grounds, park?
No, I'm good. What okay. We talked about is all I know right now.
All right. I just have a couple things. I met again. This has been going on since way before I was around, but I met with BLM representatives at the town park, the track park. Jabe Beal was there with the BLM people to kind of, show them around and so on. They had to do one last study in order for us to finally get the lease that turns the property over to the town. It was a hazardous materials survey. They walked around the perimeter, looked around, said this should be no problem. There isn't anything here that poses any risk. And so they left saying that they thought the paperwork might take about 3 or 4 months. And then we would be given, the lease would be given to us to take that park property as town. They wondered if we wanted to have a celebration and have someone from the BLM come present it to us. So we need to be thinking about if we want to make a big deal out of that or not. But anyway, you know, this was going on. I don't know how long, Judy, Davis.
A long time.
It was way before I got on town council. Yeah. Maybe Gladys remembers, but this has been going on, a long time. So hopefully in 3 or 4 months we're done, and it's our property. So anyway, contacted UDOT about mowing the sides of the highway. They haven't done it this year because they were kind of issued a mandate by the state not to do it because of fire risk. So what I was told is once we get some moisture, maybe this weekend, then they'll try to catch up on all their mowing. So I told them, one of the problems in Boulder is we have a lot of deer in town. And if you don't mow the sides of the roads, we have a lot of collisions. So I'm hoping if we get a significant amount of moisture this weekend, maybe in the next week or two, they'll mow the roadsides. So that's at least there was a reason they haven't done it. And then the last thing, Five County Association of Government is redoing their natural hazard mitigation plan. I think they have to do it every 5 years or so. Peter Benson is going to be heading that group up along with Judith Guile. They may be recruiting a few more members, and they will work with Five County Association of Government to do our part, which I don't think is a significant amount of work, but I wanted to say thanks to Peter and Judith for being willing to take that on and do what needs to be done to update us. And then that puts us, we can get federal grants, state grants, if we have our paperwork done. So anyway, that's going on. And then I just wanted to comment on the Halloween stroll. I thought it was great. I've had a lot of people say we need to do that every year, only make it bigger and better and more wonderful. And so thanks for all of you that participated. I think there were a lot of you there handing out candy and watching the kids. And I think it was, past years down here where Cheryl and I are, we rarely get anybody to come trick or treat. And we had about between 35 and 40 kids come to our station and pick up candy. So Conrad mentioned a little earlier, I know Gladys was there, Shayla was there. There are a lot of people there. So anyway, we'll look forward to maybe doing that again next year. I think that's all I have, clerks.
I did send out the checks issued this evening, but I don't know if all of you had a chance to see them or not.
I got a copy. Anybody else?
Gladys did.
I got a copy as well.
Yeah, I did too.
Okay, perfect. Are there any? Let's go September for the September checks issued first. You know, we can approve them both at the same time, but if there are any questions on September, anybody? Or October?
The only question I was just wondering, what was done at the dump? Was that, did Sam?
He went up and dug the ditch.
Yeah, he dug a new construction trench.
Oh, okay.
Construction material trench. Okay, if there are no questions or comments, I'll entertain a motion to approve both September. Oh, Judy?
Yeah. I have more checks to be signed. If you and Gladys are going to be around sometime, I can meet you somewhere.
I can drop by tomorrow. I'm okay on tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll stop tomorrow, hopefully, Judy. If not, remind me.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion. We accept, we approve the checks as presented for September and October.
Okay, we have a motion.
I'll second it.
It's been seconded by Judy Drain. All in favor? Aye.
Aye, Gladys.
Aye, Judy.
Aye, Elizabeth.
Okay, it passes 5-0. Thank you. Anything else, clerks?
Can't think of anything.
Super close to being on with Polaris. We sent them everything they need. Our first quarter of the 2021 fiscal year and the full fiscal year 2020, all the payroll info. So we should be up and running with them. Per Kyle, I spoke with him on Monday. He's guesstimating by next week. So.
Right.
Oh,
yeah, and for those of you
I'm gonna dance around.
Okay, very good.
And while we're talking about money, the auditor's coming Monday.
Okay.
Or whenever the 10th is, maybe it's not Monday.
Yeah. Okay.
It's Tuesday, I think.
On Tuesday.
I'm quite sure it's not Monday.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't realize how much work we've had to do, well, I haven't, but the clerks have had to do to get us moved over to Polaris, which is a, you know, more of an accounting system that a lot of the cities and towns use. You know, it's a lot of work to get all of that organized and put on and workable. And I know both Michelle and Judy have spent a lot of time on that. And I want you to know, I appreciate what you guys have done. This is, you know, in the future, hopefully this will really save us some time and effort. But boy, the upfront stuff has been, I know, brutal for you guys. So thank you for doing what you've done.
Yep.
Okay, we'll open it up to public comments. So if you have a comment, you can raise your hand electronically, or if we can see you, you can wave to us, and Michelle will let you in and we'll take any comments that you have.
Go ahead, Peg.
Can you see my hand raised? I don't see it. Anyway, what I wanted to say was in today's Insider and the article dealing with Garfield County Commission meeting that happened a week ago, remember? First sentence that a fire ban is going to be imposed until the end of, it says February. That's a complete boo-boo. And what David Tubbs had reported was that the state had called him and asked to extend a fire burning restriction through the end of this month, November, unless there's precipitation. So I don't know if that is that a plan to the towns as well, or just the county, or everybody. I don't know, but anyway, he got that word, and hopefully we'll get precipitation, and it's at a moot point, but I just wanted to tell you that it's the weather made a boo-boo, so in February and not November, so just so you're aware when you read that, if you do.
I did not hear a word she said.
Wow.
I didn't understand it
either. Yeah, not a word. Boo-boo, baby talk. All I heard was baby talk.
Okay, I'm going to chat. And then we'll have it.
That sounds good.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments?
Let me see here.
I have to unmute myself. This is Colleen. I'm laughing as hysterically as Elizabeth and Michelle are. And you too, Steve. That was really great. That was an amazing ending.
I thought maybe everyone else could understand her because no one else was smiling. So I was like, I guess it's just me. I think we understood that.
That was like watching Charlie Brown or something.
That's what I was thinking.
Technology's beautiful sometimes. Any other comments? Thank you.
I don't have any virtual hands raised.
Okay, well, thank you all for joining us tonight, and I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I just will make that motion because I got to hurry and find out what the weather is going to be since you said it's going to storm, Steve. I got to check that
out. Yes, you better check it out.
Saturday.
Second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded by Judy Drain. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Gladys, aye.
Elizabeth, aye.
Conrad, aye.
Okay, thank you, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, have a good night.
Thank you.